Beginning of the year, we often do something from the Bible when we start the year. And so I'm going to read a bit from the Bible, funnily enough. And this is from Deuteronomy. And it's from Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 22. Be sure to set aside a tenth of all that your fields produce each year. Eat the tithe of your grain, new wine and olive oil, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks in the presence of the Lord your God, at the place he will choose as a dwelling for his name, so that you may learn to revere the Lord your God always. But if that place is too distant and you have been blessed by the Lord your God and cannot carry your tithe, because the place where the Lord will choose to put his name is so far away, then exchange your tithe for silver and take the silver with you and go to the place the Lord your God will choose. Use the silver to buy whatever you like. Cattle, sheep, wine, or other fermented drink, or anything you wish. Then you and your household shall eat there in the presence of the Lord and rejoice. What a great passage. But this passage and the story that we just looked at in relation with the kids actually involves a temple. And the Bible can sometimes be a bit opaque to us. We read the Bible and we don't really get it. But if there's three different things that we really begin to understand, they will really help us understand the Bible. And one of them is covenant, the idea of covenant, and that's where unbreakable agreements. And the Bible is full of covenants. We don't have any covenants. We have contracts these days, but most people feel like they can just break contracts at a whim. Kingdoms. Again, we don't really have many kingdoms today, but we do, I guess, know some places where there is a king or a queen that has actual authority rather than just a figurehead. And the third one is a temple. And many of us, certainly in Melbourne, there's not many temples around these days. Now, in other places in the world, there are temples and people are clearly and know what they're about. But the Bible is full of temples. And we can sometimes think that temples are just like meeting houses. You know, it's a fancy name for a church. It's a temple. Well, it's not quite that. You see, in many places, even to this day, and certainly in the times that the Bible, in the cultures where the Bible was written, temples were not just meeting places. Temples were places that connected heaven and earth. If you've ever seen that TV show and that movie Stargate, people would go through portals to get from one place to the next, right? And the Stargate would enable you to zoom across the galaxy or whatever. Well, a temple is a portal, if you like, a connection point between heaven and earth. But more than that, if you go to temples around the world and look at the ancient ones, a lot of them looked like houses. And that's because they were understood to be houses for the deity or for the God. So they were a connecting point between heaven and earth, a place where God actually lived. And most temples in the ancient world then had some sort of image or statue or idol, which was a physical representation of that deity or of that God. And so in this passage that we've read, where it repeatedly says, go to the place in the presence of the Lord your God, at the place he will choose as a dwelling for his name, that means go to the place where the temple is going to be. Go to the place where the mobile tabernacle, where they've been wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years, go to the place where that tabernacle is set up, because that's the place where my name is, where my presence is. Go to that special place. And there, celebrate and rejoice, eat and drink as God's people in God's presence. And it's interesting, this is actually a recurring thing that they are told in the whole book of Deuteronomy. Now, the book of Deuteronomy was a recording of what Moses taught the Israelites when they were about to enter their promised land. They had been wandering around in the desert for 40 years. And some of us feel like we've been wandering around outside of this building for 3 years with COVID and then construction, right? And so I thought it would be good for us to actually pick up this some stuff from this book as we move into our new place. And when Moses was talking to the Israelites and recorded in the book of Deuteronomy, it often talks about finding the place where God says to put his name. Back in chapter 12, it says this. Verse 5, but you are to seek the place the Lord your God will choose from among all your tribes to put his name there for his dwelling. And in fact, there were some really tight restrictions saying you can't worship anywhere else. You need to get rid of all of the other altars that you might find in the land, any other temples, any other constructions. Just get rid of all of them and just come to this one place to worship. And that was really necessary because there was lots of other ideas and false ideas about who God was and how you did worship, and often some terrible things like sacrificing kids. And so it really was, no, we need to get rid of all of those unhelpful ways of worshiping God, and so we're going to centralize it in one place where you will know that if you go there, you can be confident that God is actually there. And in chapter 12 and in chapter 14 and in chapter 16 and chapter 22, it repeatedly talks about finding the place for God's name, the place where God's name will dwell, and to go there for important reasons. Now, it took them several centuries and they actually ended up building a temple in Jerusalem, and then it got destroyed, and then they rebuilt a second one, and then that got expanded in the days that Jesus was born, and then that got destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD. And so this idea of temples actually is really important in the whole of the Bible. Special places, connecting points between heaven and earth, places where God resides. But there's a really interesting thing that happens with this whole idea of temple in the Bible. So they were told, the Israelites were told, you need to find the place, and that's the special place, and you build a special building, and that's the temple, the connecting place between heaven and earth. And eventually, Jesus came to this temple place, to this house of God. And there had been prophecies that says, suddenly the Lord will come to his temple. And we understand that Jesus is the answer and the fulfillment of those prophecies, where God, come in the person of Jesus, comes to God's house. But then a really interesting thing happens. Jesus says, actually, I am the connecting point between heaven and earth. The temple was the connecting point, but I am now the connecting point between heaven and earth. And in fact, Hebrews talks about the temple being like a model that points to a deeper reality. And because the deeper reality is spiritual, you actually need a physical thing so you can figure out what it's like. You know, so many times when we try to describe things to people, we pick one thing and say, well, it's a bit like that. And it's like, this is what God says. You need to understand what living with God is like, and so you're disconnected from God, but a temple can help you understand living with God is a bit like that. And so then Jesus comes along and says, actually, I'm the living connection between heaven and earth. When you see me, you see a true reflection of what God's like. But then there's an amazing additional switch after that. After Jesus' death and resurrection and ascension, the Holy Spirit is poured out on God's people on the day of Pentecost. And the New Testament says, actually, the people of God are now the temple, the connecting point between heaven and earth, the place where God lives. And Jesus once said, you know, wherever two of you or three of you are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. You could be in a field, you could be in a car, you could be wherever, you could even be in a special building. If there's two of you three gathered in my name, I am present with you. And so that's why we haven't called this building a temple, because the building is not the temple, right? The people of God gathered together are the temple. And by the temple, we mean the place where God is present. The place where God is visible. And it's really interesting. The Jewish temple never had a statue in it. It never had an idol in it. Because God's intention was that every human being would be an image of God. A reflection of God. Not fully God. Not saying everyone's little gods running around. But the Bible teaches that humans are made in the image of God to reflect God's reality into the world around them. And so that's why there's no statues in here, and we don't call it a temple, because we together are God's people. The place where God lives individually and corporately. But there is wisdom in having special places. That's just the way it works, you know. Like, most of us have spent time going to a special place where we learnt about mathematics. It's called school. And some people are really looking forward to school starting again. And some of them might even be the kids. But other people went to special places to learn to be nurses or doctors or builders or plumbers or whatever else. But you didn't go to those special places just to stay there. You went there to learn maths so that you could use maths in your everyday life. So you could figure out whether all of the bill added up at the checkout or whatever it is. You know, you didn't just go to university to learn nursing. You actually went and did nursing in other places. You go to special places so that things happen in your life that then you take to the rest of your life. And there's no doubt that this building is a special place. There's been 7 years of effort to get us to this. I was looking back through some of the documentation, and we asked people in November 2015 to spend 3 months thinking and praying about it. And then there's a whole long process where we reflected together and gathered together and figured out what to do. And we, after many years, we are now here at this place. And this is a special place. It has deep connections to this area. Like when this area was first built in the 40s and 50s, soon after, a church was started on this site in a little shed, like a garage type shed, which was called the cathedral. And we've still got that sign somewhere. And then they built a tin or tin covered steel covered hall, which is on the bit where we are now. And then in the early 70s, they built a brick church building, which is now the foyer over there. And so we have some deep connections to here, and the cross, will be hung up on the wall over there, but it's over there at the moment. That's made of wood of the cross that came from Stonington Baptist. And so there's connections here in this building to the history of this place. And so although this place isn't a temple, we have actually thought about it being a special place. And just as in Deuteronomy, God encouraged them to go to that place, that you may learn to revere the Lord your God. We want this to be a place where we learn to revere God and connect with God and learn God, learn about God, but also a place where we rejoice. Now, it talks here about sheep and cattle and fermented drink and wine and whatever you wish. So I think that includes Tim Tams and Maltesers and things like that. So when you come to this building, maybe the first thing that you might see is the name of our church, Encounter Baptist Church. And you might not be aware, but the reason we chose that name is that because from our experience, and we firmly believe that it's impossible, that it is possible for ordinary everyday people to encounter God in the midst of their everyday lives. You don't have to be a special holy person. You don't need to walk around with angel wings or a halo or anything like that. Just who you are, it's possible for you to encounter God in the moments of every day. But sometimes we need to go to special places to help us learn to do that. And we hope that this place is a place where you learn to do that. But if you look at our logo, we've got an E with three circles around it. And the three circles have a range of meanings. The first one is that Encounter Baptist Church was actually formed out of a partnership of three churches, hence three circles, Sindel Baptist and Stonington Baptist and Chadston Baptist. But there are also three dimensions to life: our spiritual life, our life in community, and the life that we of work and service in the world. But the circles also for us remind us that we can do a reflective learning process about the moments of life. We talk about going around a learning circle. We observe what happens and we say, God, what are you saying to me about that thing that happened at work last Thursday or the thing that happened in our family last weekend? What are you saying to me in that and through that event? How can I meet you in that event, God? What are you saying to me and what can I do differently? So when you come to our building and you see our sign, you might say, well, there's a history of faithful service that we are living in the benefits of. You might be reminded that we can meet with God individually. You might be reminded that there's three dimensions to life and that we can reflect on the moments of life to really learn and draw near to God. But we've also thought about it in terms of the architecture and even the naming of things. Like we're calling this room for now the auditorium. Again, because we the people are the sanctuary where God lives, not the place. And so this is the auditorium. Out there is the foyer. We have three rooms up there. The room at the top is called the upper room, because it is the upper room, but there is also a reference to the upper room in the Day of Pentecost. Then there's a room out there, and we're calling it the meeting room. And then there's a room downstairs, and we're calling that the multi-purpose room, and that's where Kids Church, amongst other things, will be. But it's like built into the architecture is the three dimensions of life, an upper room connected to God, right? A meeting room for God's community, and a multi-purpose room that people from the community and us can use, whether it's playgroups or birthdays or whatever else it is, a multi-purpose room that's connected to the world around us. And it's even in this half of the building too. So this, we can say, well, this is like, this auditorium is where we have services, we worship God, we connect with God. And then we go out into the foyer and we're a place of community where we're sharing life with each other and interacting and eating food together and all those sort of things. And then we go out through the door and we've got our concrete apron out the front, and where we had our barbecue out there last Sunday for our brunch, and a place where there's a openness to the community around us, and we can go out to bless them and invite them to come in. And so these are actually deliberately things that we thought about when we were going through the design process. Now, it may not be obvious, but we're trying to build into this building these dimensions of life. And so when you come into this building, maybe you'll hopefully, consciously, but hopefully also subliminally, you'll just be reminded that there's three dimensions to life. And we are going to have this cross hung up on the wall here because we think that's central to the revelation of who God is and what God's done. And as we walk in through those doors, it'll be the first thing that you see when you lift your eyes up. But you may also notice we have a big screen here. And I want you to think about that a bit like a big stained glass window in a cathedral. It's like a window to the world. At the moment, we've got a picture up there, and it's been a looping video at some time during the service, of a sunrise, like at the beginning of a day. We're at the beginning of a year. We're at the beginning of a new season in this building. And at different times, there'll be different images up there that point to us the enormity of creation, or the delicateness, how things small and delicate, or some other profound things. There'll be things that we want to hope you to see it as a window that enables you to see beyond just the screen and thereby connect with God in some profound ways. So God often calls people to gather or go to special places. And with people's generosity and hard work, we have a brand new special place together. A place where we can learn to honour God, to know that God is present with us, to rejoice together in a welcoming and open and inclusive community, where we can learn to encounter God and interact with God here in the special place, so that we can go out into the world, into our lives where we live, learn, work and play, and encounter God there. We come to a special place so that every place can become special. And that's my prayer and hope for this facility. And I hope you have a similar hope and prayer for this facility. Because in the Bible, in the passage we talked about, God says, well, go to the special place where I will show you. And they ended up building a temple there. And then there was a move from the temple to Jesus. And then there was another move from Jesus to the church. At the end of the Bible, there is a final move where God makes everything new, and everybody is aware that, in fact, the whole creation is a temple, a place where God dwells. And that was God's intention from the very beginning. When you read Genesis chapters 1 and 2, with the eyes of the features of temples, and we've got videos that talk about that, and we've talked about it in more detail, what they were trying to communicate was that this world is a place where God lives. It's crackling with God's presence. And coming to special places to learn about the presence of God means that we can be in every place in the presence of God. And my hope and prayer is that each one of us this year would have a growing experience of that. God with us in our cars, in our garages, in our work sheds, in our laundries, in our kitchens, our lounge rooms, our workplaces, our schools, our parks, our pools. Wherever we find ourselves, we can be reminded that, hey, God is here and I can live life with God. But I do think we need to do something concrete to follow the examples of this passage that we started with. And that's coming together to eat together. And so I think we need to do that. I think we need to have some times when we come together and eat pizza, or maybe some times when we come together and we have a multicultural smorgasbord of your favourite dishes from different cultures and cuisines. So I think we need to do some things like that. So I'm going to post a question in our hub about when would you like to do that, what sort of thing. And I want you to put in your suggestions, because we're going to do ones for the neighbours and stuff, but we need to do some of those just for ourselves as well, and just enjoy being here. And so I want you to put your thinking caps on. I want you to think about when might work for you. Do we do something even after the service next Sunday? I don't know. But let's just follow the wisdom of this passage, and in our special place, bring food to celebrate together and rejoice in the presence of God. Let's pray. God, we again thank you that we are in this special place. And God, that you have used special places throughout history to help people connect to you. And I pray that for us, for each one of us, God, that these facilities would help each one of us connect with you. So, God, that we can go into our everyday lives and connect with you there and be a blessing to you and be a blessing to those around us, not because we are good, but because you are great. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.